One of the things that I have noticed that is a real pattern in the body of Christ, and that is there are a lot of people that, how do you say this without sounding mean? There are a lot of people that just aren't making any progress in their walk with God. And there's a reason that God's given us His Word. If all we needed to do was be born again, that's all we'd have. But there's a reason He's given us His Word. There's a reason He's given us the Holy Spirit and so forth. And we are supposed to be maturing in the Lord. The problem is a lot of people don't do that. And in fact, in some groups and churches and organizations, it's almost like they're instructed not to grow. Now, the people in charge don't mean it that way, but when you think about what they're teaching and what they're saying, that's the way it comes across. And I just won't go too far in that. But we should be making progress, but in some cases, people are actually regressing. It's one of three things. You know, you're either progressing, regressing, or you're static. Static meaning you're not moving, you're not doing anything. You know, you're just there. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to take a look at a couple of things of the way it should be. The way it should be for believers. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him," or live according to the pattern that He has set before you. "Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now notice in verse 7, it says, "rooted and built up in Him." That right there is a sermon in and of itself, or at least one sermon. Rooted means you are established in Him. You're choosing to sink your roots into Christ and nothing and no one else. And then built up in Him, meaning you're going to draw from Him. You're going to grow according to who He is and who He wants you to be. In fact, I have a teaching series entitled, I think it's Rooted and Built Up or something like that. And it talks about this concept. So he says, rooted and built up in Him. This is describing a growing process, a spiritually maturing process that's supposed to be taking place in each believer. Now look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll see another example of this, of what should be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look here in verse 15. Nope, that's not right. Hallelujah. Let's try 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're running out of Thessalonians, aren't we? And, nope, that's not right. Okay, well, there's a verse somewhere else in the New Testament. Praise God, I'm half tempted just to pause everything until I can find this verse. Anyway, this particular verse that I was supposed to show you tonight goes along with this whole concept of growth and spiritual development and how that we are supposed to be growing and maturing in Christ. Yeah, here it is, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, wait a minute, I had it right, didn't I? Shame on me, I was looking at the wrong chapter. See, this is one of the reasons why you need to edit your video before you send it out. Because, I mean, this right now, the whole world is watching me flub this terribly. That's okay. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." What he's saying here is don't vary from what you've been taught. And when he says traditions, he's talking about the traditions that have been taught to them by verbal preaching and teaching or by the written letter. So he's saying, hold on to this. Well, based on what we've read, if you hold on to that, then you're going to grow because the instruction is, be rooted in Him and built up. In fact, I mean, you can look at this later if you want to, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it talks about the fact that we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow or make progress or mature spiritually in Christ and who we are as believers. This is what should be. This is the way it ought to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. However, this isn't always the way it is. And all too often, what we see is exemplified by the verses we're going to look at this point. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul is writing here, and he says, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now what he's saying here is, I still can't teach you what I want to teach you, because you guys are like babes in Christ. In other words, you should be a whole lot further along than this right now, but you're not. And so therefore, I've got to hold back on what I can teach you. And like as I've shared in the past, if he's feeding them milk, then basically what that means is the entire book of 1 Corinthians is milk. That's a shocker. Because, as you know, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians will split churches right down the middle. Because that's where Paul's talking about tongues and so forth. Well, anyway, what you find all too often are people who are carnal. Now, think of it this way. If you don't accept the whole book of 1 Corinthians, if you don't accept it as truth, I mean, what it says, from chapter 1 all the way through the whole book, then you would fall into what Paul's describing here as carnal and a babe in Christ. Now, that's kind of shocking, and a lot of people don't like to hear that, but when you take a look at what he's written, that is exactly what he's saying. Well, let's look at another place. Look in Galatians chapter 1. If you begin reading in verse 6, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So what he's telling you right here is that these folks had actually progressed, you know, from point A to point B to point C to point D, and now they have regressed to point A. I mean, he says right here, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from..." You can't be removed from something that you weren't established in. You see this? Now look over in chapter 3, in verse 1. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" So what you're seeing is they have deviated away from the foundation and the truth that they had originally received from Paul when he taught to them. These folks have actually regressed. Now look in Hebrews chapter 5. And here in Hebrews 5, we'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. In other words, he's, we'll teach these things if God gives us the permission or lets us go to do this, releases us to teach this way. So he's saying, look, you know, you folks need to be teachers. You ought to be at the place now to where you're teachers, and yet you need somebody to come in and teach you again the very foundations, the very principles. Now, this is pretty sad, but the thing is, there's a lot of truth in this. The problem is, a lot of people don't even get okay, I'll say it like this. You know how you take cement that's powder in a bag, and you mix water with it, and you end up with goo that, you know, you pour, and then you end up with a sidewalk. Everybody understand what I'm saying here, all right? You've got Christians, there's still powder in the bag. I mean, water hasn't even been added. There's no genuine cohesiveness in their spiritual walk with God. They're born again. But they don't even understand the foundations, like these people. He says, look, somebody's got to come in and teach you again the foundations, the very elementary things. And what I have found is that, boy, it's the foundational things that most Christians fuss about. It's the very basic entry-level teachings that have, it's the fussing over those things which have led to, you know, all the division and so on and so forth. Because if you can get people established on the fullness of the foundations, and listen, when I say the fullness of the foundations, it's more than just being born again. It's being born again and understanding what born again is. A lot of people don't even understand it. Are you born again? I'm born again. What does that mean? I'm going to heaven. Jesus died on the cross for me. Yeah, but what does born again mean? Well, it means I'm going to heaven. Jesus died. Blood of Jesus cleansed me from my sins. Okay, but what does born again mean? You told me you were cleansed from your sins, but what does born again? I didn't ask if you're cleansed. I asked what does born again mean? And they don't know. I just told you what born again means. It means the blood of Jesus. No, you told me you were cleansed. I'm asking you, what does born again mean? And then they'll look at me and say, you just don't get it, do you? You don't understand, do you? Well, the real problem is I do understand. And you're letting me know that you don't. Doesn't mean I'm better. I mean, look, somebody who's graduated from high school is not better than a person, a little kid in first grade. It just means they've learned more over the years. That's all it means. But you're not better. Well, likewise, in the body of Christ, you have a lot of Christians that just don't know. So, this creates a major problem, because if God's given us His Word, and over there in Timothy it talks about that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, so that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then based only on that, what it's telling us is that from God's perspective, if you start throwing parts of Scripture out like it doesn't matter anymore, you cannot go on unto perfection to where God can use you the way God wants to use you. But one thing I'll guarantee you this, man will use you the way man wants to use you. Meaning man will promote you into ministry. Man will give you a church of 5,000 to pastor. Man will promote you here and promote. Man will put you on television. Man will do that. But according to what we see in God's Word, you've got to have this foundation of the very basic principles of what this is all about, what Christianity is all about. Because if you don't even have that, how can God fully use us? Well, are we progressing, regressing, or static? Now, at the beginning of the service, you should have picked up one of the handouts. And kind of in the middle of it, it says, do not unfold until instructed. Well, now's the time to unfold it. And don't rush through this. Walk through it with me. For those of you watching this, you don't have to have a handout because I'm going to read through it. You can just work with me. I'll read their questions on here. I'm going to read the questions, and then you can answer as you're watching or listening. And then those of you here live, you can fill this out. But the first thing here at the top says, how long have you been born again? So write that down. How long have you been born again? 6 months? 60 years? I mean, whatever. How long have you been born again? Now that we've established that, question number one. Christians, well, actually, these aren't questions, they're statements. Christians have a sin nature, true or false? And do not answer out loud, whoever that was of you. We'll let you stay here in the church, Barry. But no. Oh, sorry. That was broadcast all over the world, wasn't it? The people around you do not need your help. Hallelujah. Christians have a sin nature, true or false? Number two, Romans 8:14. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'll read this again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Romans 8:14, the word Spirit is speaking of the Holy Spirit. True or false? In Romans 8:14, the word Spirit is speaking of the Holy Spirit. True or false? Now, let's look over in Galatians chapter 5. Brother Martin, you're not giving me time to answer these. Yes, I am. It's true or false. You don't need a formula here. Galatians 5:16. But if ye, or this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16 is speaking of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. True or false? Galatians 5:16 is speaking of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, true or false. And by the way, you won't be handing these in. This is for you. So I'll have no idea what, you know, how you've answered. Galatians 5:16 is speaking of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, true or false. Number four. The initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. True or false? The initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. True or false? Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. Some of you instinctively reach for your wallet when you hear Malachi. It's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. I'll get it. Wait. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Number five, the instructions to tithe in Malachi 3:10 apply to Christians. True or false? The instructions to tithe in Malachi 3:10 apply to Christians, true or false. Number six, God has called some Christians to the ministry of healing. God has called some Christians to the ministry of healing, true or false. Number seven, there is absolutely nothing anywhere in Scripture supporting the existence of denominations, true or false. There is absolutely nothing anywhere in Scripture supporting the existence of denominations, true or false. Number eight, praying in tongues is absolutely critical to spiritual growth and maturity. True or false? Praying in tongues is absolutely critical to spiritual growth and maturity. True or false? Now look over in Romans chapter 7. Now, we're not going to read all of Romans chapter 7, but I just want to kind of jump in here and read a little bit of it. And you can read the whole chapter later on if you want, but I think most of us are somewhat familiar with this. But in verse 15, Paul writes, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now I'm not going to continue reading, just those few verses here in Romans. But Romans, number 9, Romans chapter 7 is describing Christians struggling with sin and the sin nature. True or false? Romans chapter 7 is describing Christians struggling with the sin, with sin and the sin nature. True or false? Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. "Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" I'll read that again. "Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" 1 Corinthians 12:30 reveals that God does not expect all Christians to speak in tongues. True or false? 1 Corinthians 12:30 reveals that God does not expect all Christians to speak in tongues. True or false? Now, we're here in 1 Corinthians. Let's look in verse 28. "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Now look over in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 and 12. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11 through 12 reveal every possible ministry calling in the body of Christ. True or false? 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11 through 12 reveal every possible ministry calling in the body of Christ. True or false? Number 12. "For protection against demonic attack, Scripture instructs that we can plead the blood." True or false? For protection against demonic attack, Scripture instructs that we can plead the blood. True or false? Now you've answered these however you believe. And I'm going to give you the answers here in just a moment. But based on the answers that you have given, whether true or false, either one, what scripture or scriptures can you use in context to support your answers? What scriptures can you use in context to support your answers? You don't have to look at this, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about how that we have to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us. Meaning you need to be ready to explain why you believe what you believe. So therefore, if you answered true, and you were having a discussion with someone about, you know, any of these, then how could you explain, using Scripture, to the person you're speaking with, that it's true or it's false? What could you show them in the Word to confirm what you believe? Now, you should be able to. Because everything that I have in here, every one of these, and as I was sitting and thinking about this, it's like, boy, I could come up with 50 pages of these. Or at least 50 points. But we stopped with 12 because that's all that would fit on one page. These things are foundational. There should be no dispute, no argument whatsoever about these. None. And now, drum roll please. That was a figure of speech there. Here are the answers. Now, before I go through and give you the answers, I think you should operate in wisdom and know very well that these 12 would not be on here if I did not have plenty of Scripture to support the answers. Thus, if you disagree, you should best arm yourself with plenty of Scripture before you approach me and tell me that you disagree. Because without the Word, there will be no discussion. And you need to be prepared to use the scripture you show me in context. Don't throw half a verse at me and say,
there, see there, Brother Martin, see there, Brother Martin.
Brother Martin won't look. Hallelujah. So here we go. Number one, Christians have a sin nature. False. In Romans 8:14, the word spirit is speaking of the Holy Spirit. False. Galatians 5:16 is speaking of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. False. The initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. True. The instructions to tithe in Malachi 3:10 apply to Christians. False. God has called some Christians to the ministry of healing. False. There is absolutely nothing anywhere in Scripture supporting the existence of denominations. True. Praying in tongues is absolutely critical to spiritual growth and maturity. True. Romans chapter 7 is describing Christians struggling with sin and the sin nature. False. 1 Corinthians 12:30 reveals that God does not expect all Christians to speak in tongues. False. 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11 through 12 reveal every possible ministry calling in the body of Christ. True. For protection against demonic attack, Scripture instructs that we can plead the blood. False.
Ah, Brother Martin, that's not true. That's just not...
Now, if you missed any of these, you need to ask yourself why. Because every one of these has been covered in at least a sermon or a series that I've taught here. And it goes way beyond this. Well, I missed half of them. I can tell you how to solve that problem. Number one, examine the verses that we covered at the beginning of the message tonight. Are you progressing, regressing, or static? Make a determination as to whether or not you want to grow or you don't want to grow spiritually. All of these teaching series that are available, get them. Listen to them. Now, I have patience to a certain point, I guess. But when I get a lot of questions from people who were in services where things were taught, but they're asking questions, 2, 3, 6, 8 months down the road, a year later, and they're asking questions about what was covered, then what I'm hearing is, you didn't care enough about what was being taught to learn. It just didn't matter enough to you. Now, I'm not mad at you. I mean, we're still buddies and everything like that. I'm serious. I'm not mad at you. But what I'm saying is you just didn't care enough to want to know. And over time, people that have asked me questions and I've instructed them, or suggested or recommended, well, get this teaching series, get that teaching series. Sometimes people, I can tell they're starting to get upset with me because I'm telling them to learn. And you can't complain about the price because, when we don't charge, you can have everything. And it's not going to cost you a penny. Now, we appreciate any offerings, but we're not charging you for it. And let me just pick one out here on these. Where it talks about, number six. God has called some Christians to the ministry of healing. There's no such thing in Scripture. It does not exist. It's not in there. Oh, Brother Martin, I know for a fact it is. Okay, I have teaching series about discovering your calling and so forth in your ministry. You need to get that and listen to it. Because it will explain. See, yeah, but what about Oral Roberts? He was called to the ministry of healing. No, he wasn't. Oral Roberts was an evangelist, and healing operated through his ministry. What about Benny Hinn? He's called to the ministry of healing. Benny Hinn is an evangelist, and healing operates through his... What about William Branham? Same thing. What about Alexander Dowie? Same thing. Healing operated through their ministry. But there's no such thing as the ministry of healing in the... Now see, when I say that, a lot of people immediately, they want to, you know, cast stones at me as though I don't understand. Well, see, I didn't understand at one time. And this is something I really want you to please let this sink in. I didn't understand these things at one time. But I started digging in the Word. And when I heard somebody teach something that I just, you know, I'm tilting on the inside. Like, hold on here, what do you mean? Well, I'm like if I'd have heard somebody say there's no such thing as a ministry of healing, then I would have sat back and, well, no, I'm sure there is. But the thing is, there's something in me, I would have wanted to prove them wrong. Not for doctrine's sake, but for pride's sake. To show I'm better than you and I'm smarter than you. So I would have wanted to prove them wrong. And I would have gone to the Bible and searched and searched and searched and searched until I could find the ministry of healing. Problem is, I could never find it. Now, that was an imaginary scenario that never happened. But I'm using that to illustrate. And there are a lot of other things. Just like the Romans chapter 7 thing. You know, a Christian struggling with sin and the sin nature. That's not what it is. Well, yes, it is, Brother Martin. Well, I used to believe that too. But when you leave chapter 7 in context with chapters, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, then you begin to see that what Paul is doing in Romans chapter 7 is revealing the problem the Jews had living under the law. And then he leads into salvation's remedy in chapter 8. But because of the way it's written in chapter 7, and because people don't leave things in context, they just, accept whatever they hear. Now, I don't know how many you missed, if you missed any. You may not have missed any. I don't know. And those of you listening, maybe you missed some on these 12, maybe you didn't. If you didn't, if you missed any of these, then don't be upset with me and think that I'm trying to, make you feel insignificant. Accept this as a revelation that you need to dig more into the Word of God. I'm the same way, guys. The same way. To this day, if I hear something that I don't understand, my approach is different in that no longer do I try to... if I hear somebody, teach something and I'm not sure about it, now I study the Scripture to find out if it's right or wrong. Not out of pride, but because I want to know. Because if I've never heard it before and it turns out it's right, then what I need to do is study it, make it a part of my life, and then turn around and teach it to people. They're not questions, but these 12 points here, you can use any of them that you missed, if you missed any. You can use these as something to study from. Well, he says it's true and I thought it was false, or, vice versa. So, what exactly is going on here? This first Galatians chapter 5. See, one of the reasons people mess up on this, these things about the Holy Spirit is that they think every time there's a capital S Spirit, it means Holy Spirit, and it doesn't. Not every time. But it's keeping everything in context. And see, when God made that statement back over there in Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, He's telling you how to study His Word. You can tie that in with Isaiah chapter 28 where it talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. God's telling us how to study His Word. It's when we begin to fraction His Word into bits and pieces. It's like I shared the other day about where Jesus was saying, if you build your house upon the rock, my sayings, build your house upon the rock of my sayings, your house will stand when the storms. But if you build your house upon the sand, then when the storms come, it will collapse. And I brought up the question, what is sand? Sand is fractured rock. So what you're doing is you're taking the rock and you're breaking it into all types of little pieces and trying to make it support something that it can't support. You fragment the Word of God and that's what happens. You live... You're born again, you're going to heaven, and you think everything is going okay. But from God's perspective in the realm of the Spirit, He's looking at your life and He's saying, yeah, you're built on sand. Example, somebody thinks everything's going okay for them, And, you know, praise the Lord, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, hallelujah, things are going great. I go to this particular church, boy, they teach truth, the whole nine yards. Well, then you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you a bad diagnosis. And what starts coming out of your mouth? Well, I'm sick. Doctor, I've got cancer. I've got cancer. Or I've got, you know, gitchy-gumi disease or what. You know, you begin speaking what man has told you. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When the doctor gives you a dire report, if the abundance of your heart is truth, then truth is going to come out in acknowledgement of the dire report. Meaning what you speak about that report is going to be based upon God's truth. Well, the doctor says such that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I praise God that He sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. You see the difference in this? And this is what God looks at. When you build your life on fractured word, then when, you know, the storms come, regardless of what they are, what comes out is either going to be rock or sand. You know, with people talking about the economy now. And, you know, oh, the economy's bad, the economy's bad, the economy... Not in God's perspective. Now, listen, you know, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, I'm paraphrasing, need to pay the tax. So go fishing. First fish you catch, open its mouth, reach in, pull out the money, and pay your tax and mine. Now, how did Peter know to do that? How? Because he was side by side with Jesus. So he was able to hear what the Lord had to say. Well, if I'm not side by side with Jesus, then when I get laid off, the only thing I have to do is panic. I don't have God's word to do. I have panic to do. Because I'm not there with Jesus. I'm not there to hear Him tell me, go over here to the XYZ Corporation and apply for a job. They'll hire you. Oh, Brother Martin, those things don't happen. Yeah, they do. You telling me God doesn't know where the job openings are? You telling me He doesn't know where you can find a job? You tell me He can't... What's it say? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? Doesn't it say that? Well, see, when you're building your life on truth, then God's able to use you for the glory of His kingdom. Jesus made the statement, I don't do anything but what the Father tells me what to do. I mean, my paraphrase of that. I only say what I hear and go where He tells me and do what He says. That's it. Well, God was able to use him. Now, for us, every one of these here that we covered tonight, these 12, and there's so many more we could use, these are so basic and so entry level and so, you know, Hebrews, where it talks about, you know, the very principles and so forth. All of this is foundational material. And yet there are some of these 12 that, I mean, church, in some churches they'd start throwing pews, not pews, but hymnals at each other. They might throw pews, I don't know. People get to fussing and fighting. Now here's the thing. Now, like I said before, if we went through this and I gave you the answers and, you know, you missed one, one of the worst things you can do is stub up and let pride rise up. Well, I know I'm right and I know he's wrong. Based on what? What scripture do you have? At least take the time to listen to the teachings. At least take the time to, yeah, but Brother Martin, that one series you said you were recommending, I mean, man, that's got like 8 sermons. I don't have time to listen to 8 sermons. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't tell me you don't.
But I work a full-time job.
I worked a full-time job, and I still listen to sermons all the time. I'd come home and I'd listen. You do what you want. And that's what it comes down to. You do what you want. Same thing for me. I do what I want. If I want to pray, I pray. If I don't, I don't. If I want to read the Word, I read. If I don't, I don't. I can make all the excuses I want, but the bottom line is I do what I want. We all do. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up, if you remember, there was a prophecy that came out. Well, it's one of the reasons I'm bringing all this up. There was a prophecy that came out how that it just like last week before, where God was speaking about that He needs us to grow and mature so that He can use us. Well, I want to echo that sentiment. And there are a lot of people that aren't here tonight, you know, and for legitimate reasons, and some maybe not, I don't know. But there are a lot of people that are part of this ministry. They may hear this, hopefully, you know, they'll get this message and listen to it. And hopefully they'll take it to heart. But to echo what the Lord said, I need you. I need you. Now, I don't think you understand. I need you. You remember those posters? You know, you've seen them, you know, Uncle Sam, I want you. All right, well, I want you. You don't know how much I need your help. See, okay, let's, the economy thing again. If we had enough help, enough people that were willing and able and were praying and getting direction from God, we could establish the largest food bank in this region. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I mean it. I'm serious. We need a building, a larger building, bigger than this building that we're in, upstairs and downstairs combined. A building for the storage of the food and so forth, money for some of the transportation of the food, and then people to administrate the distribution of the food. We would be able to establish the largest feeding program in this region. Larger than anything that's ever existed in this region. Now, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. But what I'm saying is, there's a lot that could be done that I cannot do by myself. We need an evangelism program, Pastor. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Why, it's not my job, Pastor. You're the pastor. You do it. You need to be out here knocking on these doors, Pastor, instead of playing golf all day. Well, I've never played golf a day in my life, thank you. And I don't play computer games either. Every one of us has a responsibility. Yeah, but I work a full-time job. I understand that. I'm not asking you to quit your job. It kind of goes back to, are you growing? Are you progressing or regressing? Now, there are those of you listening to this, and you go to another church. The church you're going to, I'm assuming that's where God's planted you. Your pastor needs you. He needs you to be involved somehow. I don't know what that means, but he needs you to be involved. Now, one of the best ways, and I can, you know, for this church and churches like this one, one of the best ways to be involved is, you know, obviously, you know, to attend. Because when you attend, you're strengthening the fellowship. When you attend, you know, the Bible talks about the threefold cord is not easily broken. You're strengthening the threefold cord. And you're strengthening the interpersonal relationships within this ministry. And I know sometimes some people probably think that I'm a little overboard when it comes to the thing of attendance. But I don't think I am. You know, granted, you know, if your body, you know, if you're fighting a physical thing and you can't get out of bed or whatever, I understand. You're going on vacation? I understand. We just went on vacation. I understand. I'm talking about the people just lay out because they just don't care. And that's really what it comes down to. You just don't understand how valuable you are to what God wants to do. And the whole thing about listening and growing and, you know, praying in the Spirit and developing yourself spiritually, there is so much that God wants to do in this ministry with the people that are here. You know, when you think about everything we're already doing, it's amazing. How can we have this? How can we at this size have this kind of impact around the world? How? I get these emails from people, these countries, and it's just incredible. How? Well, praise God, He's working, and He gets the glory for it. What you've had tonight, for some people, is maybe like a reality check. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for our spiritual growth. God expects us to grow spiritually, and like it says over there in 2 Corinthians, to conform to the image of Christ. Jesus said, those of us who believe, we can do all things, the things that He did. And on this goes. This is not me as a pastor trying to put pressure on people to serve in the flesh. It's me pointing out that we have a responsibility to God, a responsibility to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to grow in this relationship with Him so that He can use us to bring about the fullness of His desires, whatever that means. However it's relative to this church, this ministry, you, your calling, so on and so forth. It's easy to get distracted, and I know that. It's easy to get caught up doing other things, and I know that. And for those who have tendencies to, you know, twist words that are said, again, this is not about quitting your job, unless God tells you to. It's between you and Him. It's not about ignoring your family. Jesus made the statement there in Luke that if you don't love Me more than anything else, you can't be My disciple. When you love Him more than anything else, He will bring perfect alignment to your life in everything that you do. Employment, family responsibilities, all of it. He will bring it all like a puzzle. He'll put all the pieces together perfectly. Some people would say, well, Brother Martin, you're kind of harsh, you're kind of strong. Well, you know, if you take a look at what is written in Scripture, you know, Paul, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Do you honestly believe that any of the people there hearing that letter believed they were bewitched? These people thought they were following truth. These people thought they were following the right path. They thought they were doing what was right before God. And then Paul comes in and he says, you know, writes this letter to them and says, you guys are way off base. You guys have messed up horribly. Well, who does he think he is? I haven't messed up. Maybe he's the one that's messed up. All that walking in the sun every day. Poor guy's fried his brains. Well, no. And yet there are people who would think that I'm too harsh. Okay, here's what I would say. Seriously now. Take your Bible. Read through it. Let's just restrict it to Romans to Jude. Okay? From Romans to Jude, read your Bible and find something in here that refutes what I'm showing you tonight from the Word. And show it to me. Show me where God does not expect what I'm sharing tonight. Anointing doesn't just happen. Ministry callings don't just happen. You grow into what God has called you to do. It's what had to happen for me for years. God sat and waited on me. And you know what? He's still waiting on me. Because if I don't do my part, He's sure not going to do it for me. I have to do what He's called me to do, what He expects of me. Yeah, it's a challenge, but it needs to be done. So I'm saying tonight, you know, take a look at this. And just make a decision what you want. I guess really that's what it comes down to. Just make a decision what you want, where you want to be with God, how far into Him you want to go, and then as He begins, and He'll show you what to do, as He begins to show you ways to rearrange your life, just do it so that you can keep digging into the Word and grow thereby. I'm telling you, God wants revival, but He needs us to be the tools through which He works revival. He needs us. And I want to be used by Him. I'm kind of hoping you do too. Praise God.